Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Hachaleitz livimto, someone who performs chalitza with a yivama, v'nasa achiv et achuta, and then his brother marries her sister, umet, and then passes away, choletzet velo mitya bemet. He performs chalitza and not yibum. So in the case of the reverse, which would be that we have a situation in which we have two brothers married to two sisters, and then one of the brothers passes away, then the other brother does not have to perform yibum or chalitza because the problem is a problem de oraita. You have a chot ishto, that's an erva, and the erva prevents you from having to perform yibum in that case, and she goes free, she's released without anything. But in this instance, the problem is only a problem de rabbanan, which is that the brother was choleitz livimto. He performed chalitza with this woman, and then his brother got married to her sister and then passes away. That sister now falls to him. Midoraita, he should be able to perform yibum with her or chalitza. The problem is midrabanan, they made it that once you performed chalitza with a woman, it's the equivalent of having been married to that woman and then being divorced from her. So in that situation, we don't allow him to perform yibum with this woman. But, min haTorah, he's totally fine to perform yibum. Therefore, he requires chalitza, but we don't allow yibum. That's what it says here in the Mishnah, choletzet velo mit yabemet. Because of the previous chalitza that he performed with the sister, now when his brother married a sister, for instance, Reuben had performed chalitza with Leah, and then his brother Shimon married Rachel, and then Shimon passes away, Rachel falls to him, technically he should be able to perform yibum with her. But because he had already performed chalitza with her sister Leah, that prevents him midrabanan. And therefore we say he has to be choleitz to Rachel, no yibum. V'chein hamigaresh et ishto. Similar is a situation in which he divorced his wife. V'nasa achiv et achuta. So a similar situation in which Reuven was married to Leah, and he divorces Leah. Then Shimon marries Rachel and passes away. Rachel now falls to Reuven. That is achot ishto, because remember, achot ishto goes beyond just the marriage. It's as long as she's alive, there's a problem of achot ishto. So even though he's divorced from her now, there's still a problem of achot ishto. And because of that here, it's a clear de oraita. Right? So then, harizup turah. Here you need nothing. You don't need chalitza, you don't need yibum, because here you have an erva de oraita, achot ishto, deoraita. The question, of course, which the Gemara asks is, it says v'chein, which draws a parallel between a din derabonon and a din deoraita, and it's clear that the din is different. In one case we said choletzet velo mityabem, and the other one we said tura. Right? Shomeret yavam, shikidesh achiv et achuta. So here you have a case where a yivama falls from a brother, and in the interim, one of the brothers goes ahead and has kiddushin with the sister. So again, here you have Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven was married to Leah, and Reuven passes away. Leah now is available for Yibum to Shimon and Levi. Levi goes ahead and is Mikadesh Rachel. So now you have a problem. He can't work in either direction, we'll see in a second. He can't perform Yibum anymore because he has Kiddushin with her sister. He can't really be Machnis this woman because she is Achot Zekukato. He had already a Zika of Yibum before he performed Kiddushim over here. So now, what do we do in this case? Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Amru, Omrim lo hamtein, ad she'aseh achicha maaseh. Wait till Shimon acts over here. Once Shimon has acted, he will release the Zika. Because if Shimon performs Yibum or Chalitza with Leah, then the Zika is removed from Levi, and he can continue on with his marriage to Rachel. Chalatz la'achiv, o kansa, either one, if he performs Chalitza or Yibum, yichnos et ishto, then he can go ahead and consummate the marriage with this woman that he has kiddushin with. Meita hayivama. If the yivama passes away, yichnoset ishto, then he can get married because you've removed the zika. The zika dissolved because she passed away. There's no longer a zika when she has passed away. The yivama is gone, even though there was no performance of yibum or chalitza by the mere fact that she passed away, it goes away. Meita yabam. The problem is if his brother passes away, Shimon, who is the only one besides him who can perform yibum over here, if he passes away, now he's stuck because he has no one else to take off the zika from him. Now he remains with the problem of both the yivama and the woman that he has kiddushin with. So Yotzi et Ishto beget, he'll have to divorce the woman that he married b'kiddushin, ve'eshet achiv b'chalitza, and his brother's wife, he'll have to do chalitza with her. In other places, the Mishnah will say, oilo al yivimto, oilo al ishto. So Tosafot, earlier on, the Masechta asked, why doesn't the Mishnah say it here? We had different reasons given by the Rishonim, but there Tosafot says, we only say oilo al yivimto, oilo al ishto, where the resultant loss of both of those marriages is nothing to do with him. It is a complete onus. Over here, his acting inappropriately caused the problem. He performed kiddushin with the sister after she was already yevama. After the sister was yevama, he had a zika, and then he performed kiddushin. So it's his own fault. He got himself into the trouble because he performed kiddushin. In that case, we don't have that line of oilo ayvimto, oilo alishto, because here, he could have controlled the situation. If he had just waited with the kiddushin, he would have been able to deal with the situation then, and he could have married the yevama. Obviously, he couldn't have married the other woman, but he could have married the yevama in that instance. So that's why the Mishnah doesn't have that line. Okay, very good. What you're asking is actually a Tosafot. Tosafot back on Yud Chet Amud Bet. Yud Chet Amud Bet, the top Tosafot over there, asks your question. Rashi over here says it, and the Mishnah is pretty obvious that he only performed the kiddushin after the yevama fell. So the top Tosafot on Yud Chet Amud Bet actually says, Omri, Dafka Kidesh Omrim Lo Hatein. Only if it's kiddushin do we tell him to wait. Milisa, Mishum Deshat Nisuim, Nirek Noseh Achot Zekukato. Because then when he consummates the marriage, it looks like he's Pogeya, Achot Zekukato. Avalim Nasak Var. If he already had Nisuin with her, Shishto Gemura, Pakala Zika Legamre, Vein Sarech Lemtim Milivol. So if he already has Nisuin, and he has yet to have Bia, there we're not going to hold him up. He's fully married to this woman. There is no Zika there because of the Nisuin. In addition to this, V'davka Kidesh Achar Nefilah. Only where he performed the Kiddushin after the Yivama was waiting, was a Shover Yivam. K'demuchach Becholetz, our Mishnah over here, which is the B'kidesh, B'isur Ayri. He did it inappropriately. The Mesik Allah, Meita Ishto, Mutar B'vimto, Mishum Dava Yivama, Shuhut Rav, Nesra, V'chazer Avutra. Avalim Kidesh Beheter, Kodem Nefila. This is your question. What happens if he did the Kiddushin before the Yivama came? Then he doesn't have to wait. If he acts in either case, where he has either kiddushin beforehand, which is that he acted totally appropriately, then his kiddushin is strong enough to block the zika from coming upon him. That's number one. Number two is if he already has nisuin, he's so far along in the marriage that he has both kiddushin and nisuin, that's far enough along where again the zika has no power over him and he can continue on, he can be boel, he can continue on his marriage. The problem really arises in this case where the Yivama was already there, the Zika existed, and then he performs Kiddushin. So many of the Rishonim ask, wait, why can't he just, the Kiddushin should remove the Zika? The answer is because he did the Kiddushin after the Zika, it's a weakened form of Kiddushin. And therefore it doesn't remove the Zika completely, and that's why he needs his brother to intervene over here to deal with the Zika. Once his brother's dealt with the Zika, then he can continue on with his marriage. He can't do the Chalitza. And he can't do anything here because he can't remove the zika because of the nature of how he entered into the kiddushin. You can see that in Rashi over here. Rashi says that echad min achim et achuta lachar shenafla zulifnehem zkuka lukulan. After already she had fallen as a yevama, then he performed kiddushin. So he's hinting at what the Ri had explained back on Yud Chet Amud Bet, that this case here is only a case where he did it after the yevama was already available to him when there was a zika in place and then kiddushin. Now the Gemara asks the question, my v'chein. What do you mean, v'chein? Ema avala migarish. The proper terminology, the conjunctive word that should be used over here is not v'chein, that chalitza, and then similarly in gerushin it should be, this is the din by chalitza, aval, but by gerushin you don't need this. By gerushin you're throughout the gamre, you don't need chalitza, you don't need anything. So amarish lokish, kan shonarabi. Rabbi wanted to draw a parallel over here. Achot grusha midivrei Torah, achot chalutza midivrei sofrim. What Rabbi wanted to do here is draw an equation of equivalence. Not equivalence in din, but that the paradigm from which chalutza is built is gerushin. So when he said vechein, he's saying chalutza derives from gerushin. Yes, gerushin is d'oraita. That's why you require nothing. And that's why you don't need chalitza there. Whereas chalitza is only a problem derabbanon, so mi d'oraita you still require chalitza. But v'chein is drawing that paradigmatic equivalence, which says that chalitza is built on gerushin, and that's why he used the word bechein instead of the word aval. Right now, shomeret yavam shekidesh. Amar Shmuel halacha kedivrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. If you look in Rashi, what does that mean? The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Diyesh zika valim lemeser alav. What he's possibly here like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, who says zika here is a problem. It's clear from the Mishnah that's what's going on. The problem here is zika, and the zika is strong enough to block him from continuing on with the kiddushin because he did the kiddushin after she was yivama. That zika is strong enough here to block him. So that's what we say here. The halacha is kedivrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, that zika is a factor. If his wife passes away, what's the din with regards to the yivama? This individual performed kiddushin with the sister, and then the sister passes away. So the problem of achot ishto has gone away because achot ishto is only a problem while she's still alive. Well, if she's passed away, she's no longer a problem. Can he now marry the yivama? Now, this again, Tosfot on Yudchet brought this as a proof to that this is the factor. This could only be true when she fell as a yivama and was muteret to him. Then he performs kiddushin and he makes her asura. Then his wife that he did kiddushin with passes away and the yivama becomes muteret again. So it's mutar, asura, mutar. So you had that sequence of items over here. Rav, v'Rabbi Chanina Adam Rei Tarvayu, Rav and Chanina believe, Meita Ishto Mutar Bivimto. His wife passes away, he can now perform Yibum or Chalitza, whichever he chooses with the Yivama. Shmuel v'Rav Asi Adam Rei Tarvayu, Meita Ishto Asur Bivimto. That when his wife passes away, he cannot return to his Yivama, then he's not have access to this Yivama. So Amarova, my time of the Rav, what's the reasoning behind Rav's situation? Mishum dava yivama shuhutra. When she fell the yibum, she was muteret. Shimon and Levi were both either single or not married to arayot at that time, and now they either of them could perform yibum with her. Vinesra, once Levi went ahead and performed kiddushin with her sister, she became asura. Vichazra v'hutra. But then the sister passed away, meaning that the one he performed kiddushin with, this Rachel that he performed kiddushin with, passed away. Now Leah was open for Yibum, Tachzor, Leheterah Rishon, goes back to the original Heter. Heter, Isur Heter, goes back to Heterah HaRishon, and that's why he's allowed to form Yibum over here. That's the reasoning of Rav. Meitev Rav Amnuna. So let's challenge that from a mission that we saw before. Gimel Achin, three brothers, Bet Nusuim, Bet Achayot. Again, a case that we see recurring over and over again. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. So Reuven's married to Leah, Shimon to Rachel, and Levi is a third brother. Ve'echad mufneh, and one of them is not married. It's not really important that he's not married. It's just that he's not married to a relative. Meit echad mi balei achayot. One of the brothers married to a sister passed away. Reuven passes away. Vasa ba mufneh ma'amar. Levi goes ahead and performs ma'amar with her. Ve'achar kach meit achiv ha'sheni. And then the second, Shimon, the other brother, passes away. So now Levi has Ma'amar with Leah, who is Reuven's wife. And now Shimon's wife has now fallen to him to Yibum. He has a problem of Achot Zukukato. He has two women who are sisters who are now both Zukukim, no? V'achakach Meita Ishto, Acharav. And then after Shimon passes away, his wife, Rachel, also passes away. So again, you have Reuven pass away, Leah now is available for Yibum. Shimon can't perform Yibum here because it's Achot Ishto. Levi, who's a mufneh, who's single, goes ahead and performs ma'amar with Leah. Then Shimon passes away, and all of a sudden Rachel enters the picture, which causes a problem for Levi. But then, lo and behold, after Shimon has passed away, his wife Rachel also passes away. So now we're back to the previous stage, which is Leah is the only one available, and Levi should be able to marry her. So now, that woman, that Leah, can only have chalitza performed with her, not yibum. So now the ma'amar is really not important in the Mishnah. Even without ma'amar, the same situation would be true. The ma'amar is just the afuke mi Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai says that had he performed ma'amar, it was strong enough that Shimon's passing away would not have affected the marriage at all. That's what the Gemara said back then. But the ma'amar, as far as we're concerned, makes no difference here. The only question is, was she amai? Tave ki v'ma shehutra. When Reuven passed away, Leah was muteret to Levi. Levi could have performed Yibum at that time. All of a sudden, Vinesra, when Shimon passed away, that caused a problem in the interim. V'chazra v'hutra. And then when Shimon's wife Rachel passed away, Leah went back to her original heter. So Tachzor leheterah Rishon. She should go back to the original status. That's a big challenge to Rav's position over here, who says that when you have heter, iser heter, that it goes back to heterah Rishon. That Mishnah there does not say that. Ishtik. He did not have a response to that. The Batar Nafak, after Rav Amnuna had gone out, then Amar Lo Amartle. Oh, wait a minute. He thought of the answer. After Rav Amnuna had challenged him with this question, then Rava said, after he left, he goes, now I know what I could have said. Rabbi Elazar, he. That Mishnah over there is authored by Rabbi Elazar, who we bumped into before. The Amar came in Sham Da'alav Shachat V'Isur Nesralav Olamit. That as soon as there's any Isur involved, that Isur becomes a permanent Isur. So here in this case, even though when Leah fell in the first place, when Reuven passed away and Levi was a time of heter with Leah, right after that, when Shimon passes away and Rachel becomes available for Yibum, Leah becomes Asura. Since she was Asura at one point, Olamit. That becomes a permanent status and doesn't change. So what Rava says in explaining Rav Shita is, Rav says, I hold like the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar has that opinion. That's fine. And he's the author of that Mishnah. But my opinion is not based on Rabbi Elazar, I'm based on the Chachamim, who say that Hutra, Asura, and then Hutra is Choser the Hetera Rishon. Hadamar, he's talking to himself. Imor dam Rabbi Elazar hecha dolo chazi b'shat nefila. Maybe Rabbi Elazar's opinion is only when she is asura at the moment of the start of the mitzvah of Yibum. When does the mitzvah of Yibum start? We actually saw a machloket about this earlier. Whether nefila goremet, does the mita, the death of her husband, cause the beginning of the Yibum? Or is it kiddushin arishonim, or nisuin arishonim? The original marriage to the first husband, which generates the point of Yibum. But assuming, b'shat nefila, that the time of the death of her husband is what generates the Yibum, and Rava will explain, what Rav says is, Rabbi Elazar only thinks that this problem of Isur becomes a permanent Isur, is when at the moment that the Yibum was available, became a reality, at that moment she was Asura. That's not the case here. In the case here, when Reuven passes away, Leah is muteret to Levi, she's totally fine. He says that Rabbi Elazar's opinion of this permanent Isur is only if that moment she was Asura, then that remains that way. So for instance, for Shimon, where, when Reuven passed away, Leah was Asura because it was Achot Ishto, then if Shimon's wife, Rachel, passes away, he will not be able to perform Yibum there because that's Isur Olamit. So that's the way Rabbi Elazar's opinion works. Of Al Hecha, Dechazi B'Shat Nefilah, at the time that Nefilah, where she was totally Muteret, Mi Amar. Who says that he agrees in that case that the Isur is an Isur Olamit? So then it wouldn't be a good answer for him. Hadamar in. Then he said, you know what? That is the way to learn Rabbi Elazar. He says that no matter when the Isur happens, Rabbi Elazar will say that it's Asura Olamit. Vatanya. And Vatanya here is Vinichuta. Not a question, but rather this is a Tanaic support to this. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Meita Yivimto Mutar Biishto. In the case where his Yivama passes away, Mutar Biishto. Meita ishto, oto yivama choletzet, velo mitya bemet. So this is similar to our Mishnah, the case here, which is, in a case where his yivama passes away, then mutar biishto, then he can keep his wife. On the other hand, meita ishto, if his wife passes away, oto yivama choletzet, that yivama is choletzet. For exactly this reason, which is that, if the yivama passes away, then he can continue to consummate the marriage with his wife, because the Zika is gone over here. Ishto wasn't a problem of Yivama. It was simply a problem of Achot Zekukato. And that doesn't have any relationship to being Isur or Isur Olamit. So if the Yivama gets out of the way, then he can marry his wife. But in the reverse, where his wife passes away, then he cannot marry the woman, the Yivama. Why?
Because he only performed the Kiddushin after she was a Yivama. And that's even though at the moment of Nifilah, she was Mutara to him. The Isur only came to effect later. And yet, what do you see? The Rabbi Elazar still says, Asura and Asura Olamit. So the Isur came into effect after there was a time of Heter, not at Shad Nefilah.
Like the position of Shmuel and Ravasi, we saw before, that is Koletze Velo Mitya Bemet, because once she became Asura, it became Asura Olamit. And that's even if it didn't happen at the time of Yibum, and that is the Shita, you see here, of Rabbi Elazar. So now the Gemara says, Lema Shmuel Veravasi Damrek Rabbi Elazar. Let us say that Shmuel and Ravasi subscribe to this position of Rabbi Elazar. Now Rabbi Elazar says if she was asura at any moment, she's asura ulamit. The fact that in the Braita he requires chalitza in this case, like Shmuel and Ravasi's position, shows you that he believes in the case of heter, iser heter, it's asura ulamit, he's choletzit ulamit yabemet. So now the Gemara says, let's say Shmuel and Ravasi basically subscribe to Rabbi Elazar, because what Rabbi Elazar says here is, asura ulamit, if it's heter, and then iser heter, he says you have to do chalitza and not evil. So now that sounds exactly like what Rav Asi and Shmuel said, that in the case of Hutra, Asura, and then Hutra again, lo choseret li hetera rishon, that sounds like it. Where it says, afilu teima ki rabbonon, Rav Asi and Shmuel can even hold like the rabbonon, ad kan lo kom iflige rabbonon alei de Rabbi Elazar, le mishom medine fila velech lo mitzar alayu. The rabbonon, in that case, disagreed with Rabbi Elazar, because at the time of Nifila and onwards, there was no Iser. Avachar de Iser afilu rabbonon modu. Because in the case where they're talking about here, this is by Perek Beit Shammai, by a Megaresh Isha Ve'echzira. Case here where a person's married to a woman, divorces the woman, and then remarries the woman. So now, as far as the Yabam is concerned, there's a point in time that his brother was married to this woman, and then he divorced her. So at the point that he divorced her, she is Asura to him because that's Eshet Ach. And Eshet Ach, he can't marry even after Gerushin. But then he remarries her. So that brings her back into the picture of Yibum. She was once married to him, then Mutar for Yibum. Divorces her out of the picture of Yibum, then remarries her. There, Rabbi Elazar says, Asura Olamit. Because she was Asur at that point in time. She became Asur at some point in time. There, Asura Olamit. The Rabbanan argue and say, what are you talking about? That's not Asura Olamit. At the point later on when she's Nofel to Yibum, he was married to her. Once he remarries her, he brings her back into the picture of Yibum. So what Rav Asi says, or Shmuel is going to say to you is, Rabbi Elazar over there and the Rabbanan argue because the Iser was generated during the time period when, before she fell to Yibum. That's why the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Elazar. They say that's all prior to her Nifila to Yibum. But who says that the Rabbanan won't agree with Rabbi Elazar if at the Shat Nefila or after Shat Nefila the Isur comes in? Maybe there even the Chachamim will agree that that Isur translates into an Isur Olamit because it happened after she was already a Yivama. When she's a potential Yivama, then the Chachamim say that it doesn't matter. What happens during that period of time is not relevant because she's only a potential. But when it's actualized and she becomes a Yivama, maybe even the Rabbanan agree that if some Isur comes into the picture, that Isur is Olamit. And that's what they're arguing here, that even the Rabbanan will agree in this case, because at one point in time he had Kiddushin with the sister and became Achot Zekukato and made the Yivama Asura. Even the Rabbanan will agree to that case. And Shmuel and Rav Asi say the Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar, we can fit into either one of those opinions. We're not pigeonholed into being only like Rabbi Elazar. Okay, now next Mishnah. Hayivama lo tachlots velo tijabim. Yivama may not have chalitza or yibum performed with her until she waits for 3 months. Now, as far as yibum is concerned, it's easy to understand why she has to wait 3 months. That's for havchana. That's nothing unique about a yivama. That's in any marriage. We're going to see that in a second. The Mishnah, that we want the woman to wait after the passing of her husband, after the divorce from her husband, 3 months to ensure that we know who the baby belongs to. So now that's as far as yibum is concerned. Chalitza, why does it matter? If he's going to perform chalitza now, why not? Why not perform chalitza? Why do you have to wait here to perform a chalitza? So that the Gemara has to deal with. V'chein kol shar nashim. Now here we're talking about just, as I mentioned before, even in regular marriages, lo yitarsu v'lo yitnas'u ad she'ulahen shlosha chodeshim. The Tanakhama says, no erusin, no nisuin, until you've waited for the 3 month period to elapse. Echad bitulot, echad beulot, echad grushot, v'echad almanot. Doesn't matter whether they were bitulot. So that means that, obviously, they're not pregnant over here. V'echad beulot, where there is a potential for pregnancy. Echad grushot, doesn't matter if it's a divorce. V'echad almanot, or she's widowed. Echad nisuot, doesn't matter if it was a consummated marriage. V'echad erusot, and doesn't matter if it was just kiddushin. So the Gemara will ask, what's the difference between bitula and arusa? And bi'ula and nisua, they seem to be synonymous. But an arusa, by definition, should be a bitula. And a nisua should be a bi'ula. One has a consummated marriage, one doesn't have a consummated marriage. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha'nisuot it arsu, varusot inasu. So Yehuda says, listen, if they had a consummated marriage, then they can have kiddushin here, because kiddushin won't result in any problem, because the second husband has yet to consummate the marriage. She'll have to wait to consummate the marriage, but kiddushin's not a problem. So as far as nisuot, a woman who was previously married and had consummated that marriage, there's a chance she is pregnant. So what we'll do is, she'll perform kiddushin, which is muteret. She's allowed to get married now. She's either divorced or widowed. She's perfectly permitted to get married. The only question we want is to differentiate between whether it's the son or the child is from the first marriage or the second marriage. So let her have kiddushin, and then wait to consummate the marriage till after the 3-month waiting period. Varusot, arusot is women who only had a halachic engagement. They never consummated the marriage. Since they never consummated the marriage, there's no chance that she's pregnant. Therefore, inasu, they can get married and consummate a marriage because there's no chashash of the first husband because they never had bia. Chutz, min arusot shebiyuda, b'nei shelibo gaspa, this is a Mishnah in Ketubot, that the arusot in Yehuda are at risk of having bia, of consummating, quote-unquote, the marriage, not in the context of nisuin. And that is because in Yehuda, they used to allow, well, now they're halachically married in terms of an engagement, they have kiddushin, but they have yet to go to the chuppah to have nisuin. So in that period of time, the woman is both asura to her husband and asura to anyone else. In Yehuda, they wanted the couple to become more familiar with each other and to get acquainted with each other. Therefore, on the night of the bilat mitzvah, it wouldn't be such a difficult or awkward situation. So they used to allow them to be mityached before the nisuin. But that sometimes went a little too far with the mityached, and then they actually had been, end up having biyah during that period of time. As Rashi describes over here, that klomar ragil umitzachekima, which is next week's parsha, that he was familiar with her, and mitzachekima had a certain amount of intimacy with her, shlo yeh boshim zeh mizeh bilat mitzvah. So they wouldn't be embarrassed or awkward in the time that they had bilat mitzvah. I did see somewhere that they mentioned this might have to do with the Mishnah in Ketubot about the din of Baal Hegmon, which is that in their day there was a decree that any betulah who got married had to first go and be together with the ruler at the time, the governor at the time, and then only then could she get married. Now, in that situation, for a husband who's getting married to a woman that he never met before, all of a sudden she gets taken away by the governor, he'd be like, maybe I don't want to be married anymore. It's something that would put a little bit of a chayitz, separation between them. So in Yehuda, they were trying to overcome that problem. In most cases, they were able to get away with not having her go to the Egmon. But in situations where they didn't, having them be mityached beforehand drew or created a certain amount of closeness and intimacy that may be able to overcome that problem. All right, that's a suggestion as to why they were doing this, or whatever this was the practice. Because this was the practice there, there's a chance that even an arusa in Yehuda was nitbala. Because of that, we do have to wait 3 months for the arusot in Yehuda, because they may look like nisuot. Because of that risk, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees you don't have to wait for them. Now Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol anashim itarsu. Any woman can have kiddushin over here, chutz me'almana, with the exception of an almana mipnei ha'ibul, because she's bavelut. She has to have be mitabel on her husband for 30 days. So she has to wait. The 30 days of avelut would be inappropriate for her to have kiddushin in that 30-day waiting period while she's in avela for her husband or for her ex-husband. And that's why she has to wait. Now, in terms of Rabbi Yossi's position, it's not clear what Rabbi Yossi holds. Rashi says over here that Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says Rabbi Yehuda is right, and that kiddushin can be performed by anyone. And women who only previously had kiddushin can actually have nisuin over here. He doesn't disagree with that. The only thing he disagrees with, according to Rashi, is the case of an almana. In the case of an almana, where she's an avela, there she has to wait 30 days for the erusin. That's the only thing he argues on Rabbi Yehuda with. Others suggest that that's not necessarily the case, because you could argue that he's arguing entirely on Rabbi Yehuda's position and saying no nisuin, only erusin. That what Rabbi Yossi is coming on to say is, I agree with you with regards to erusin. Anybody can perform erusin during that waiting period. But nisuin, we're not going to allow. Why? When he goes there, we're going to go there, arusot, atu nisuot, that we won't let them. You're right, arusot, there's no problem. But atu nisuot, we're not going to allow the arusot to have nisuin, only kiddushin. That's how you could read Rabbi Yossi over here, with the exception of an amana. Again, he would argue on that point. So Rashi claims that he agrees entirely with Rabbi Yehuda, except for an amana. Other Rishonim believe here that Rabbi Yossi disagrees completely with Rabbi Yehuda and says it was sin across the board for everybody. So he disagrees with the point of Nisuin. And he also disagrees even with an erusin, almana is an exception, where she has to wait the 30-day avelut period before she becomes engaged. All right, now the Gemara asks the question, bishlama lo titrabeim. Makes sense that she should not perform ibum shemiyev vlad ben kayama, because maybe you will have a viable baby that is born, v'kapaga be'isra eshedach deoraita. And now you're risking a problem of eshedach deoraita, which is a chiyuv karet. Because if the baby is viable, then eshedach, there's no ibum over here. If the baby is not viable, then there is a mitzvah of Yibum. Elololach lots amai. Why shouldn't she perform chalitza over here? Lema tehavit yufta de Rabbi Yochanan. Let us say that this is a strong refutation of the position of Rabbi Yochanan. This is from last Friday's daf, 7 days ago. Machloket, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Hachalitz le'me'uberet. Someone performs chalitza with a woman who's pregnant. Is that a good chalitza? Is that an efficacious chalitza? If she miscarries. Obviously, if she doesn't miscarry and she has a viable baby, in the end, the chalitza is meaningless because there's no need for Yibum over here anymore. But if the baby is miscarried at that point, do we say then that retroactively the chalitza was fine, that was done with the Mi'uberet, that's Rabbi Yochanan Shita, or Reish Lakish Shita, is that the chalitza is meaningless while she's Mi'uberet? Chalitza cannot take effect. You have to wait until she miscarries in order to perform chalitza. So from our Mishnah, it sounds like you have to wait the 3 months and then perform chalitza. That's a strong refutation against Rabbi Yochanan's position that a muberet can have chalitza. Because that's what you have to do. Rabbi Yochanan damar chalitza muberet shma chalitza. V'lav mid otvinei the Rabbi Yochanan chada zimno. Then we already bring a very strong question against Rabbi Yochanan. We already put him into hot water. What do you need another question, Rabbi Yochanan? Like you're just piling on? There's no reason to bring another question. So lema mehanami tavit yufta. No, this is another question. As Rashi notes, the Gemara notes in other places, that if we're able to answer the first question, the second question is still there. So we're not piling on, we're just saying that this is going to present another problem, even if we can answer the first question. Gemara says, lo. No, we don't have to say that here. Hacha hainu taima. This is the reason over here. This is what Josh mentioned before. Shemehei vlad ben kayama. Maybe the baby will be viable. V'nimtzei tata matzricha kruz v'kehuna. The problem is that she performed chalitza, and now you're going to have to announce that the chalitza was not posel her the kuhuna, because it was not a necessary chalitza now. So even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that you want to wait the 3 month period, not because it's not a valid or efficacious chalitza, but because you don't want to have to get yourself into hot water where if she didn't require chalitza, now you have to get involved with trying to unwind the problem that chalitza was performed in, and she looks like she's psula the kuhuna. So my says v'nitzrucha. So what? So let her perform chalitza and then announce that the chalitza wasn't necessary and she's muter the kohanim. Dilma ika davai b'chalitza v'lohoi b'chachreza. Problem is that some people might be present when the chalitza took place, but they won't hear the announcement of mifsalua min hakuna. They're going to believe that she was pasul lekuna. And because of that, they're going to think now if she goes and gets married to a kohen, oh, that the children are chalalim and this is all wrong. Or maybe it's mutar to marry a chalitza. So we don't want any of these things coming about. So we avoid chalitza in these situations. Right, that the Gemara said 7 days ago. The Gemara said that. And this is what Tosafot asks over here. He says, why don't we make her wait until the baby's born? What do you mean, shlosha chodeshim? Shlosha chodeshim is not sufficient because as we learned last week, that when the baby's born, the heter only comes at the birth of the baby. So there, the yibum and chalitza don't matter. 3 months doesn't matter. What matters is the birth of the baby. So why don't we say that she has to wait until the birth of the baby? Forget about 3 months. So Tosfot asked the question here, and he says, V'yishlamar, t'lohocha lek lemecha shmitoch shlosha v'adai lo tinase. She definitely won't get married within the first 3 months. U'l'achar gimel nami, im timtza mi'uberet lo yavo litot. If she's already found pregnant, people won't make mistake. Va'ot shloisa adam mi'uberet chaveiro. Person will not marry the pregnant woman of his friend. We have other places. Chazal say, don't marry a woman who is pregnant because that might cause problems with the nursing later on. And that nurse, that would cause problems in terms of weaning the baby because there is no one to replace the nursing mother. So he says that we won't have these problems because, first of all, after 3 months, and she's clearly recognizable as Mu'beret, if they perform chalitza, then nobody's going to think that was a good chalitza. Number two is, if she gets married at a point, isn't that a risk that she'll go out and get married? And she's not muter at the shuk until she gives birth to the baby? He says, don't worry about that, because people won't marry the pregnant woman. Since they won't marry the pregnant woman, you're not going to have this problem that she's going out to the shuk before she gives birth to the baby. But exactly, Alan, your question about why don't you have to wait until the baby's born? All right, now Gemara says, this is a great answer. Tinach almana. That works well for a widow. Grusha, ma'ika the meimar. Grusha, what are you going to say? A grusha is already psula de kuhuna. If she's already divorced, then kohen, not kohen, doesn't matter anymore. What? Aron chalitza doesn't change anything. She's already psula de kuhuna because of a gerushin. Now, obviously, she was a grusha before she married this individual. Because she got divorced from him, we're not talking about Yibum anymore. So it's obviously she was divorced before, and then in her second marriage, her husband passed away, and now she's available for Yibum. But she's already psula de kuhuna because of grusha, the gerushin from her first husband. So adding on chalitza over here won't matter. So Mar says, Mishum de mafsid la mizonot. Because then, it's going to cause a problem for mizonot. This has to do, we're going to explain this a little bit more in the Gemara in a second, but, mafsid la mizonot, an almana, a woman who is a widow, she is entitled to be sustained out of the estate of her husband. Now, the ketubah, if she goes in and collects from her ketubah, that ends. She's out. So she has a choice. At the time that her husband passes away, she has a choice at that moment to either collect her ketubah, and that would separate her away from her husband's estate, or she has the option to remain in her husband's estate and continue to basically take a stipend, be fed, or live off her husband's estate, and not collect on her ketubah. That's her choice. But that's only true when the woman stays in the estate out of respect for her husband or her husband who passed away. So then we can argue the reason that the estate feeds her and takes care of her is because she's so attached to her former husband that she can't get married. She's not willing to get married to someone else. Now, if she marries someone else, then by definition, she's locked out of the estate. She'll have to collect her ketubah and leave. In a case where she's an almana and decides to stay, she can make the claim that I'm doing this out of kavod for my former husband. He was such a great man. I can't bring myself to get married to anyone else. That would be a pgiah on his kavod. And because she's doing it for his kavod, we support her out of the estate. Over here, that's not the case by Yivama. By Yivama, she doesn't have a choice. She will have to get married to the other person. She's falling to Yibum over here. So she can't make the claim, I'm doing this out of kavod for my husband. Even if the other brother performs chalitza over here, the mere fact that she's now thrown into a position where she will have to marry another man, that's enough to terminate the mizonot. So now, normally, she would get mizonot until the 3 month times elapse, because she can't perform Yibum until the 3 months are up. So in that interim 3 months, she's entitled to mizonot. If you come along and perform chalitza in the interim, then you cut her off from mizonot for those 3 months. So that's the loss over here. The reason not to form chalitza for a grusha in this case is, again, not a woman who is divorced from this husband, from her previous husband. The reason not to form chalitza within that 3 month window is because you're going to actually shorten her window of time in which you can collect mizonot. So it's actually to her detriment. And therefore we say wait the 3 month period so that you can form chalitza, because she's going to have to wait anyway. She will not be able to get married until the 3 months elapse. So if you perform chalitza in the interim period, then you're going to cause her to lose mizonot, and she still can't get married. So you're hurting her from both sides. Where it says, tinach nisua. That works well for a nisua who collects mizonot. A woman who went through a full marriage and with consummated marriage, she's entitled to mizonot out of the estate. Arusa grusha ma'ika the meimar. Now, again, it doesn't even have to be an arusa grusha over here. You could just ask the question of arusa by itself. But arusa grusha where? Number one, in terms of kihuna, she's already psula. Number two is she's an arusa, she doesn't collect mizonot. So in terms of performing chalitza now, she doesn't lose anything vis-a-vis the kohen, because she's already a grusha. She doesn't lose anything vis-a-vis mizonot, because she only reached the point of erusin with this husband. If she didn't get to nisuin, she wasn't entitled to mizonot. Now, truthfully, at this point in the Gemara, the question is not just on Rabbi Yochanan. As Tosafot points out, this question is equally problematic for Reish Lakish. Because Reish Lakish also says that you have to wait the 3 month period by Arusa. There's no question that she's pregnant, and therefore the chalitza should be a good chalitza. So Tosafot says over here, Yishlamar, the Reish Lakish gazru Arusa to Nisua. By Reish Lakish, you could argue that by Arusa is a gazera otu Nisua. Because by Nisua, he says it really is, that the chalitza with a pregnant woman is a serious issue. For Rabbi Yochanan, it isn't. So how can you claim gazera Arusa atu Nisua? At least for Reish Lakish, you can make that claim. But for Rabbi Yochanan, who says the whole problem in Nisua is because you might have to make another announcement for Kehuna, then over there, Arusa, where there's no need for announcement for Kehuna, you're not going to be Gozer Otu, because Nisua is already only a Gzeira. So that's why the Gemara focuses the question on Rabbi Yochanan and not on Reish Lakish. There are other Rishonim who believe the question is equally on Reish Lakish as Rabbi Yochanan, and the answer will be the same for Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Ela Mishum de Rabbi Yossi. That's because of Rabbi Yossi. D'tanya, Maseh b'adam echad shebad lifnei Rabbi Yossi. There was this individual who came before Rabbi Yossi. Amalei, ma'olach lotz b'toch gimel. What's the din? Can I perform chalitza within the first 3 month window? Amalei, lo, tachlotz, you cannot do it. He says back to him, v'tachlotz u'mabekach. He says, why can't I perform chalitza? What's the big deal? What's the problem? So, kara alav mikra zeh. He says, he read to him, or he called, said to him about to explain this pasuk. Im lo yachpotz. That if he chooses not to, Haim chafetz yabeim. If he so chooses, he can perform yibum. Kol olel yibum olal lechalitza. In a period of time where you can perform yibum, you can perform chalitza. In a period of time where you cannot perform yibum, you cannot perform chalitza. He will not be able to perform yibum until the 3 month window elapses. So since he can't perform yibum until the 3 month window elapses, therefore he can't perform chalitza until the window elapses. It's a very interesting din over here. I'll explain to you why in a second, but now, Rabbi Yossi could be a problem for Reish Lakish's Shita, because Reish Lakish thinks the problem is that Chilatzat Mi'uberet doesn't work. So over here, Tosafot says that Reish Lakish's reasoning why Chalitzat Mi'uberet might not work is because of Rabbi Yossi, even though Reish Lakish gave a different reason before. The others had said it the other way around, that Reish Lakish's reason is the real reason. This is what Rabbi Yossi told him. The real reason, and we learned this from Reish Lakish last week, is Ein Lo Banim, which is Ayin Alav. Check in to make sure he has no children. The reason you have to wait the 3 month period is because of Ayin Alav. And that's why we don't allow it to work. That's what Reish Lakish said. Why you have to wait 3 months is because Ayin Alav means you can't allow Chalitza or Yibum to take place until you know for certain there's no child here. So that's the real reason. And Rabbi Yossi over here was just giving a reason to push this guy off so that's something he could understand easily. And he really subscribes to Reish Lakish's reasoning. He says it's connected to Yibum. If you conform Yibum, you conform Chalitza. Here you can't perform Yibum until the 3 months are over. So too, you can't perform chalitza until the 3 months elapse. Meiti Rav Chinina hasfekot chotzot velo mityab mot. Wait a minute, we have all these cases here where the women perform chalitza and not yibum. So here we have a case of sfekot. All right, there's another instance. We'll discuss all the different instances where there's chalitza and no yibum. But you have a sfekot, and they only can perform chalitza and not yibemet. My sfekot. What's the case of sfekot? Ilem es sfek kiddushin. It was a case where he through her, the Kesef Kiddushin, Sarefek Karav Lo, Safek Karav La. We don't know if it's within his Dalet Amot or her Dalet Amot, so we're not sure if he's married to her. So if he's not married to her, there's no need for Yibum. If he's married to her, then there is a need for Yibum. Am I Lo Mityab Mot? Why can't they perform Yibum over here? Titya Bein Vein Bekachlum. She'll perform Yibum and there's no problem. Mimonav Shach. If the Kiddushin was a good Kiddushin, then he's performing Yibum over here. If the Kiddushin didn't go through, then it wasn't his brother's wife. There's no problem with Meshirach here. He should be able to marry her just because she's a single woman that never had Kiddushin or was never married to his brother. Rather, it's that case, this is what we discussed earlier in the Gemara, a case where there's a Safek. He wasn't certain as to which of the two sisters he performed Kiddushin with. There was some mix-up. Again, the Gemara discussed there all the scenarios of how a mix-up could have happened. But it's a mix-up where he has this safek whether he was mitkadesh to one of two sisters. Ve'enu yodea ezemen kidesh. He doesn't know which one that he has kiddushin with. Now you can't say mimonav shach, because here you have two sisters, now you have a serious issue, because you could be pogeya. If he marries one of the women, it could be yibum, or it could be a problem of achot ishto. So there's a serious issue. V'ktano choletzet. Over there you do chalitza. So over there, you can't perform Yibum. Yibum's not an option, yet we're allowing you to perform Chalitza. Gemara says, Achi Ashta. How can you compare the cases? If Eliyahu becomes Ve'yomar, Daha Kidesh, right, that this one was the one that is Kidesh, Bat Chalitza V'yibum he, then she would be. Over here, in the case of the Kiddushin, the Safek Kiddushin, we know something happened. The only question is, we need clarification. We don't have the ability to have that clarification. But if we had someone like Eliyahu V could make that clarification, then we would rely on that and we'd make a decision. We could decide whether there's Yibum or no Yibum over here. We could deal with it. Over here, if he came along, Eliyahu comes and says, this woman is not pregnant. Would we listen to him and allow her to perform Yibum over here? It's an amazing statement, right? Eliyahu Navi comes, says she's not pregnant, and we say, no, she's still got to wait the 3 months. How do I know you still have to wait the 3 months? Dak Tana, the La Bati Burehi, Ektana, minor, who cannot become impregnated? She still has to wait the 3 months. What you see is, this is a Takanat Chachamim across the board, right? 3 months for everybody. It doesn't matter whether we know or don't know if you're pregnant. I mean, in today's world where you can take a pregnancy test and know for certain, right then, we still will make you wait the 3 month period. I mean, that's the Gzeirat Chachamim, is to wait that 3 month period. So if that's the case, Eliyahu coming is not going to make a difference. So he says, you have to look at these cases differently. In the case of Kiddush Shtei Achayot, or there's some sort of Safek in the Kiddushin by the Shtei Achayot, over there, if we gain clarification, we'll actually allow them to go through with the Yibum or the Chalitza, because it's just a matter of clarification. If there's no Gzeira, there's no Takana, there's confusion. If we can clarify the confusion, we'll let it go through. Over here, there's a Takana Chachamim, which blocks you from doing Yibum. Whether you know the information or not, you're blocked. So even if Eliyahu comes and tells the information, doesn't help you. Therefore, you have to wait for the Chalitza. Now, Rashi over here asks, we have a whole series of cases where we say that there's an Issur D'Rabbanan, like in the Mishnayot we had today, where Achot Zkukato, Achot Chalutzato, all those are problems D'Rabbanan, and we say that she has to perform Chalitza and no Yibum. Why don't we say, you can't perform Yibum, you can't perform Chalitza. Why don't we say the same thing here? Rashi answers that question and says, because Mishom D'Lo Efshar, because in those cases it's not possible, Dimke No'olam Te'aser, because then she will remain permanently in this state where she can't do anything. Since in those cases, since midoraita, she's able to perform yibum, therefore she's able to perform chalitza, even though the chachamim blocked her from performing yibum. But that isn't that our case over here. Over here also, the chachamim blocked her performing yibum. The 3 month wait is a din midorabanan, not a din doraita. It's just the havchin. Or even in the case where there's no possibility of pregnancy, we still make you wait. That's all a din derabanan. So we hear they're being blocked derabanan. Midoraita, she is a bat yibum. So why not perform chalitza? Over here, it's a reasonable request to ask her to wait the 3 months and perform the chalitza when yibum becomes mutar. So Rashi differentiates and says, where the problem is a permanent problem, in that case, we say the doraita allows her to perform yibum. Therefore, doraita, she can perform chalitza, and she can perform chalitza right away. In a case where the din derabanan only blocks her temporarily, then we will say, wait till the block derabanan dissipates, and then you'll be able to perform yibum mi derabanan and deoraita, and then you perform chalitza then. So that's how Rashi differentiates it between cases where there's a din derabanan that forces chalitza, but that's a permanent state, versus our case of here, where it's a temporary state of blocking, and then that state we're going to ask you to wait about. Now that's why it's so interesting. Rabbi Yossi's statement here is very interesting, because he's telling you, even though she can perform chalitza now, and she's a bat yibum over here, we want her to perform chalitza where she has a clearer yibum. I mean, where she can perform yibum both deoraita and the rabbanan, we want you to perform chalitza then. It's an amazing statement about chalitza in that case. You could, why not perform chalitza originally? Oh, so what? There's a block of yibum in the rabbanan? Why should that prevent you performing chalitza? But we see here, and this is a little bit about the chakira that we mentioned before, how closely related are chalitza and yibum. So the Rabbanan want the Chalitza to be as parallel to the Yibum as possible. So therefore, in a case where they block Yibum, they don't want you to perform a Chalitza. They want you to wait until that Issur D'Rabbanan is gone. It's very interesting because it elevates Chalitza and says that we want Chalitza to be matching Yibum in these situations. A very interesting concept here based on the way that the Gemara is explaining this Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Tan Rabbanan, Yivama Shlosha Chodoshim Arishonim Nizonet Mishel Baal. Yivama, for the first 3 months, gets mizonot out of the estate because it's her husband's fault that she's waiting around. The reason that she has to wait the 3 months here and cannot go on with the yibum is because maybe she's impregnated from that first husband. So because she's waiting because of her husband, that's considered to be kavod for her husband, and therefore she's entitled to mizonot for the 3 months. Now that's even if chalitza is going to be reformed. Because then she could claim, look, I did it for my husband's kavod, I didn't want to get married. No, but because she had the potential for yibum, the chalitza already takes her out of that picture. But for the first 3 months, she is. Mikan ve'elach, einan izunot lo mishel baal v'lo mishel yavam. After that point of the 3 months, of course, for the husband, she's out, because at that point, she could already perform yibum. And from the yavam's perspective, he hasn't picked her up yet, so he doesn't have to provide her mizunot. Amad bedin bubarach. If she brought him to Beit Din, and said, listen, he's got to deal with me. He's either got to perform Yibam or Chalitza. I'm stuck now. Then Nizanot Michelle Yabam. Then the Yabam's on the hook because he's causing her a problem. He's making her into an Aguna now. He's not acting, so she can't go out and marry a third party. And that would allow her to get Mizonot. She can't get Mizonot from her Baal because that's already terminated at the end of the 3 months. So he's leaving her in limbo. So since he's leaving her in limbo, we penalize him and say that he's got to pick up the tab for the Mizonot if he's going to keep her hanging. Rashi over here claims Amaru Barach is the case. Amar B'din Barach is exactly this case. She brings him to Din about the issue of Yibum, and then he runs away. So since she brought him to Din about the Yibum, now he gets entitled to Mizonot. You see here, Tosafot says, Lav bibarach bishvila ari. Tosafot disagrees and says it's had nothing to do with bringing him to a din because of problem of Yibum. She would say, Agna. It's not trying to make her into an Aguna. Vein would say, Leilo yabem lo lachlots. That's not the case over here. Ela bibarach mahmat merdin o mahmat mamon ari. He's running away for exogenous variables. He's wanted by the government. The tax authorities are after him. So he's running away for something that has nothing to do with the Yivama over here. Nevertheless, he is on the hook because she's stuck because of him. Even though the reason he's running away has nothing to do with her, he still is causing her a problem. And therefore she's entitled. And it says, Lav dafka barach, hu adin dechala. Even if he didn't run away, he became ill and he can't deal with it. That's the same thing here. She's entitled to Mizonot because the ikuv is from his side. He's causing the delay. And Tosfot quotes the same thing as we're going to see in the Gemara and Ketubot. With regard to Nisuin. And Arusa is not entitled to Mizunot. Once she crosses over the year mark where he should have performed Nisuin and he didn't, she's entitled to Mizunot if he doesn't perform. Now, if he doesn't perform because of these outside variables, she's still entitled to Mizunot. It's his problem. The reason he's not performing Nisuin is because something happened. Well, that something happened is his bad luck. And therefore, she's entitled to Mizunot. So Tosa is saying the same thing over here. If the ikuv is from the side of the Yavam, doesn't matter why, that means that she's entitled to Mizonot. Rashi, on the other hand, is saying, no, it's got to be directly connected to the process of Yibum. Only if he's running away because he doesn't want to perform Yibum is she entitled to Mizonot. If for whatever other reason he's getting knocked out of the picture, that doesn't entitle her to Mizonot. You see her Tosafot, and Tosafot has a longer piece about this, about Masa Yadayim and other things that are involved with Mizonot, but Tosafot disagrees fundamentally with Rashi about why he's running away here and what is precipitating the inability to perform Yibum. Rashi is saying it's because he brought her to Din and he doesn't want to perform Yibum. He doesn't want to deal with her. So that's why she's entitled to Mizonot. Tosafot says, no, no matter why he's not here, it's his fault. And therefore, she's entitled to Mizonot. Now, what happens in a case where Nafla Lifnei Yavam Katan? She falls before Yavam, who is a minor. So now she's in trouble because, first of all, she has to wait until the Katan grows up. The Katan can't perform Yibum or Chalitza now. Maybe he can perform Yibum if he's over the age of 9. Maybe it would work because his Bia is a good Bia. But assuming that he's a minor, he can't do anything over here. So now her 3 months elapsed, so she doesn't get any more from her husband. And now he can't perform Yibum, but it's not her fault. He was just too young, and he has to wait now until he grows up. So Miyavam Litli, from the Yavam she can't get, because he's a Katan. There's no question she's not getting Mizunot there. Mimbal Mai, from the husband, can she continue to get after the 3 month period? The 3 month window expired already. Do we say she continue to get from the husband because he basically left her in this position? And maybe she should be entitled because Yibum can't be performed, so maybe it's okay. So Pligi bar Rav Acha Ravina. Chadamar Itla, one says she does get Mizonot from the original Baal, she continues to get Mizonot. Chadamar Leitla, and one says that she does not get Mizonot in this case. Behilchato Leitla, Nalacha is that she does not get Mizonot. Mishmaya Kansuha, it was her bad luck. Mina Shamayim, she had a Knas, she landed in a bad situation, bad mazel. And because it was bad mazel, she loses out over here, and she loses her Mizonot after 3 months, and she'll have to wait until the Katan grows up, and she's really left in a limbo state for the period of time until the Yabam Katan grows up. You should just know that the Gaonim, in these situations, the Gaonim did paskin that she can get Mizonot in these cases, but what they'll end up doing is they'll deduct it from the Ketubah. I mean that if eventually they do perform Chalitza or something happens, they'll deduct it from the Ketubah. And therefore, she was getting Mizonot, but then that'll be netted against the Ketubah. If he ends up taking her as a wife later on, then it'll just, the Ketubah will be rolled over into the new marriage, and the Mizonot came out of the estate. But then the Yabam is performing Yibam anyway, so the Mizonot were on him, basically. So that's how the Gaonim dealt with it. You should know that the Gaonim, in dealing with this issue, again, both the machlok between Rashi and Tosafot here, as well as this problem of Yabam Katan, they tried to be doeg for the woman, And they did it by basically giving her a prepayment on her ketubah and saying, look, if he in the end doesn't take you, then it's a prepayment on the ketubah and it'll just be a deduction out of your ketubah because that's what you'll be entitled to in the end anyway. So just take a prepayment on it. And if again, he does perform Yibam, then it just came out of the Yavam's estate. And therefore it's fine because he married her in the end. He should have been providing her mizonot. Now the Gemara says, Tarabanan, Yivama shechatzula achim betok shlosha. In a case where Yivama, where the achim performed chalitza with her within the first 3 months, srichalam tim shlosha chodeshim, he has to wait out the 3 month period. Lachar gimel, after the 3 month period of waiting, she performs chalitza, ain't srichalam tim gimel chodeshim. She has to wait another 3 months. The 3 month waiting period is irrespective of where the chalitza is performed. Meaning that if she performs chalitza early, she still has to wait out the 3 month period. If she does the chalitza after the 3 month period, she doesn't have to wait another additional 3 months. So from this, you would see, avia gimel chadashim shamro mishat mitat abal, velo mishat chalitza ayavam. What you would conclude from these two statements is that the 3 month period has nothing to do with the chalitza and everything to do with the passing away of the husband. So when the husband passed away, that triggers the 3 months. And once the 3 months are up, irrespective of where chalitza is, that's the 3 month period. Maishna miget has this different in a get. If you say that chalitza parallels a get, what's the story with a get? The rabba marmishat netina, ushmo marmishat ktiva. That a get, when does a get become effective? So, Rav says mishat netina. When you give the get, that's when you trigger the effectiveness of the get. And then you have to wait 3 months from the time of netina. Shmuel marmishat ktiva. It's when the get was written. That's when it goes. So, what's the problem here? The problem is that when the husband writes the get, he puts a date in the get. At that time, he writes the date, he puts a date in it. The get is only effective once he gives the get to the woman. So he might have dated the get at one point, and then he gives the get to the woman. If he has bia with her in the interim, that was what we call a get yashan. The get is ineffective at that point because it's dated prior to the dissolution of the marriage. Because he already had bia with her after the dating on the get. So we know for sure he didn't have bia with her, otherwise it would be a puzzle get. So despite the fact that it would be a puzzle get if he has beer with her, so it should all be from Shat Ktiva. Nevertheless, Rav says, Mishat Netina, that only once you've given the get does a 3 month window start to count. So why don't we say the same thing by Chalitza? Why shouldn't the Chalitza trigger the 3 months and not the Mitat Abal? So you have a 3 month waiting period. If you want to parallel it to Gerushin, by Gerushin, the clock only starts ticking once he gives the get. So over here, the clock should only start ticking once the Chalitza is performed. So Amarova Kavachomer. Isur Karet Hatarta Isulav Lo Kilshakane? It says, wait a minute. After 3 months, can she perform Yibum? The answer is yes. Yibum is an Isur Karet. If she was to inappropriately marry Eshet Achiv, that's an Isur Karet. You're allowing her to perform Yibum, which goes up against an Isur Karet if she was pregnant, and now you cleared her after the 3 months, which is counted from Mita Rabal. So Yibum is permitted after that 3 month period. Now, if she goes ahead and gets married to someone else without chalitza, that's only an iser lav. That's a yivamah l'shuk. So yivamah l'shuk is only iser lav. So now, you're willing to matir an iser karet at the point in time where 3 months have elapsed, and that's an iser karet, and you're willing to allow that to go through, then certainly you're going to allow an iser lav to go through after the 3 month period. So that's what Rabbah says, that's the answer. He still really didn't answer. The question is, why don't we parallel chalitza to gerushin? The answer in the end might be, Tosfot says, Amar Ben Atam, Dafka Chalatz, only when she performs Chalitza, does that case, she doesn't have to wait the 3 months. Muchachach lo baleha. Because if he performs Chalitza with her, it's clear that he didn't have Bia with her. And therefore, the Yavam is not a factor anymore, and the original husband is not a factor, therefore she's Muteret the Shuk right away. On the other hand, if the Yavam dies, the Yavam passes away and didn't perform Chalitza or Yibum with her, Srichalam Tin Shlosha Chadushim. She has to wait an additional 3 months at that point in time. The yoter yivamah krova lebiya miarusa, because the yivamah is closer to perform biya than arusa. The gazin and atu nisua by arusa, where goes there waiting 3 months, where it's clear she didn't have biya with her husband, we still goes there 3 months. So it's over here yivamah, even though they never consummated the yibum, nevertheless she has to wait 3 months because that looks like a nisua, and since it looks like a nisua, she'll have to wait 3 months from the death of the yivam. It's only where he does something active like chalitza, which proves that he didn't have bia with her. In that instance, do we say that the 3 months counted from the time of mitat abal? Because you've eliminated the baal, and now you've eliminated the yavam. But in a case where the yavam passes away, she will have to wait an additional 3 months because of the passing of the yavam. And then, Tosfot over here says, the second Tosfot over here says, Afgal devad elo ba'alem ikame k'tiva. Of course he didn't have bia with her before the k'tiva. Timken lo haya putra beget. Zed, avid get yashan. Because then it would become a problem before the nitinat get. Shelo yamru bet nashim bechatzer achad. Zu asurav zu meteret. Shalom surim shekativat shnehem haita samuch l'netina. Ve'yavola atir toch shlosha. Says the problem is if you have two women who get their get, most people assume when the get is given, that's when it was written. So in a case here, two women are getting divorced at the same time. One of them will become muteret in a month. One of them will become muteret in 3 months. What's going on over here? The reason, because the ketivah, because it was an earlier written get. So that's why the Gemara says you can't do that. You have to go after shat netina, you can't go after shat ketivah. So what about chalitza? Why don't we say the same thing by chalitza? Tosa says something very interesting. He says, so over here by chalitza, why don't we say the same? He says, Deheach efshar la'asra lehinaseh l'shuk achar chalitza. How can you prevent her from going and getting married after chalitza? Shezeh domeh l'chucha v'itlula. Looks like a big joke. V'lo yishmu lanu alam al-kach. Nobody's going to listen to you. The chachamim can't institute something like that. Because once chalitza is performed, she's been released. Why can't she go get married? Right, what are you going to say now? Wait 3 months? It makes no sense at that point to wait 3 months. The takana baget, it makes sense. They'll just assume the nitina was the get was given. Wait the 3 months then. But here, where he does chalitza, which is the whole point of chalitza, is to release her, then you're going to say, okay, now wait 3 months? Doesn't make any sense. Nobody's going to buy into that. And therefore, that's why they couldn't put an institute. They might have wanted to, but they wouldn't have instituted it because it wouldn't have held water with people to force them to wait 3 months after chalitza. It seems to be ludicrous that you'd have to wait at that point of chalitza, because by saying chalitza, it's clear they didn't have biyah. And it's clear that she's muteret the shulk, so why would you wait 3 months now? In the other situations, there are other factors that make it look like they should wait, and therefore they'll wait the 3 months, either from nitinat to get, or in the case where the yavam passes away, and there was no chalitza yibam, she'll have to wait 3 months for that period of time, because it looks like a nisua in those situations. Okay, we're stopping here for the two dots on the top of Membet Amud Aleph.